It's you can certainly use your own Bible and also print it on the back of your worship leaflet today. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. These bloopers have actually been printed in church bulletins and newsletters. I wanted to share three or four with you. For example, there's this one from Sarasota, Florida. The children's choir has been disbanded for the summer with the thanks of the entire congregation. See, just a phrase reposition can be so helpful. From Lincoln, Nebraska, on March 16th, the prayer group met at the home of Margaret Ressler, who is no longer able to attend church. What a blessing. And this one from Fresno, California, the middle school class will study Matthew chapter 14, Jesus walks on water. Isn't there an ointment commercial or something about Walter TV? You smell like Walter, that's right. If there was anyone who had a right to think of himself as a finished product, I think it would have been the Apostle Paul. After all, he wrote a large segment of the New Testament, and yet at the end of his life, we find him with a feeling that he is still in process. He is still becoming, still learning and growing. And there's this great passage at the end of his letter to the Philippians, written while Paul was in jail. In fact, he would soon be executed, beheaded for his Christian witness. But there's no sense that he's set in his ways or over the hill. Instead, Paul writes, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A few years ago, there was a children's musical. It was pretty popular, and many churches were performing it. It was called Kids Under Construction. The cast was mainly school-age kids, and the message had to do with growing, unfolding, and learning in God's love. Children, I think, have this natural capacity of knowing that they are works in progress. They're often curious about many things. They like to be hands-on and try things out. They anticipate tomorrow with enthusiasm. When they fall down, they get up, forget about it, and try again. Now, we grown-ups, I hope, can identify with kids because we've been through it already. We've been through childhood, and we have survived, and we walk on. Yet one of the truly sad things in life is, for many, that somewhere along the journey, they lose enthusiasm. We let go of our sense of wonder. We opt for a predictable routine, but the problem is that often leads downhill. We stop growing. We give in to the maxim, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, And that's a falsehood, of course. I read someplace that that has been proven wrong. You have to work with them a little longer, but you can teach old dogs new tricks. We forget about attempts to try new things and keep on learning to enrich our hearts and minds and spirits. And yet, too many times, like hardening cement, we get set in our ways. The image of hardened concrete is a sad metaphor for a human being. I wonder how many just won't be stirred up anymore, assuming that nothing new can take place, nothing can change for the better. That reminds me of sports writer Dan Shaughnessy, what he once said about the Chicago Cubs. He said, defensively, the Cubs are a lot like England's Stonehenge. They're old, they don't move, and no one knows why they're positioned the way they are. Are there any Cubs fans here today? Warm up the truck, Ruth, quick. In John Osborne's play, Look Back in Anger, the character named Jimmy is complaining about the set-in-their-ways attitude that his family tribe exhibits. He says, man, I long for a little human enthusiasm. I'm hungry to hear a voice stand up and shout out, hallelujah. And whatever else the New Testament writers are telling us, it's clear they give us no excuse for ever shutting down, if we can help it. No excuse for shutting down the adventure of growth, especially that adventure of growing spiritually in heart, mind, love, and action with Jesus Christ. There is a lady, 99 years old, who lives in Iowa, and Vera is physically not able to do the things that she used to do, but mentally she's sharp, and there's nothing wrong with her mind, nothing wrong with her spirit. Her son escorted Vera into the care center on the day that she moved in, and on their way, walking slowly to Vera's room, her son said, Mom, we tried to fix it up with some of your favorite things. I sure hope it'll be all right. And Vera responded with a wide smile, it is absolutely beautiful. And her son said, but Mom, you haven't even seen it yet. She answered, I know, but it was prepared for me in love, so I already know it will be wonderful. Vera is determined to keep on growing in the love of God. And it's not just a matter of age. In fact, these statements were actually taken from a young adult's job applications, like this one. You'll just have to accept the fact that I procrastinate, especially when the task is difficult. Now, would you hire that person? Some of us are saying, well, that can be me sometimes. I don't know if I'd hire me or not. And this one, at age 23, I feel I already know what most 50-year-olds have forgotten. Sounds like some of my kids. And this one, by a 24-year-old waitress, without a doubt, I enjoy the tips, but I dislike working with people. You see, it's possible to be mentally frozen long before our cemetery plots are chosen. And isn't that tragic? In our passage today from Luke, Jesus tells the truth head on in the story of these two men. In this passage, Jesus says nothing negative about the tax collector. Although the tax collector himself prays, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we might imagine that he was not very popular among the people because many people resent being taxed. And we are not told that he was exactly a moral misfit. However, the master fills us in on the character of the Pharisee. He goes to synagogue services, he tithes, he fasts, he prays, and apparently feels that he deals honestly with people. In fact, he recites and rehearses all these things out loud to God. That's his prayer, telling heaven all about what a good, good man he is. The tax collector, of course, stands in contrast. He's off by himself with his head bowed, confessing what he is, praying to God for what he needs, sheer mercy and grace. And Jesus says only one of those people was put right with God when he left the temple, the tax collector, not the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, while he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee was self-satisfied. He figured that he had really arrived. Nothing more to learn, no room left to grow. He could not improve upon perfection. The tax collector, however, realized that in many ways he was not the man he could be, not the person God was calling him to be. He still had a long way to grow. A military man traveled back to his hometown after being gone for a long time, and over the years he'd risen to quite an honored position in the Army, attaining the rank of Major General. The hometown people arranged a fancy reception for the general, with hundreds of people who came out for the big party and to offer their congratulations. And as he stood in the receiving line shaking hands, a former teacher of his came through the line, stopped in front of the famous officer. The old teacher said, "Harry, tell me, how are you really?" General Harry answered with a Bible verse, "My cup runneth over." To which the aged educator responded, "Well and good, but now you're going to have to pray for a bigger cup." I like that. If our cup runneth over, let's pray to the Lord that he would grant us a bigger cup. In other words, in all of life, at every mile marker on the journey, we shouldn't get too comfortable. There's always something new to understand about the Lord. There's always something fresh to experience in life. There's always another good word to speak, a timely prayer to pray, a compassionate deed to be done. Whenever you are tempted, whenever I am tempted to feel satisfied, self-satisfied with the things as they are and settle for ourselves as we are, then we need to pray for that bigger cup. Larger opportunities, stretching ourselves to serve and grow, expanding our hearts to love and understand. After all, no matter our age, we're still kids under construction. A man goes into a pet shop to buy a parrot, and the shop owner points to three identical-looking parrots on the perch, and he says, "The parrot on the left costs $800. "Why does it cost so much?" the man asks. The owner says, "Well, that parrot knows how to use a computer." The man asks about the next parrot, only to be told that it costs $1,000 because it can do everything the first bird can do, plus it knows how to use the Unix Ultra Bluetooth Terabyte operating system. Now, naturally, the startled man asks about the third parrot, and he says, "Tell me, what in the world can it do?" Only to be told that it costs $2,000. Tell me, what can that bird do? To which the shop owner replies, "To be honest, I've never seen it do anything, but the other two birds call it boss." You know, I doubt that we'll see parrots becoming computer experts any day soon. But who knows what we'll witness in this marvelous God-given journey of life. The Lord is at work among us, within us, and all around us. So let's continue to travel with our Maker on the adventure. And let's remember that in our Creator's eyes, we are truly kids under construction. Amen. Before our final hymn, I'd like to give a special shout out of thank you to Mr. Myron Hawes and his